Would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the 143rd Psalm, Psalm 143. 143rd Psalm. As you're turning there, I'd like to ask that we please join our hearts together in another moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one who has declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand." And we know, Lord, that you do according to your will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay thy hand or say unto thee, "What doest thou?" We're thankful that you've blessed us to know the one true and living God, Jehovah, the great I Am. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, as your children, that we would live in such a way that we would honor thee as our Heavenly Father, and that you would help us to fear thee and to serve thee, that you would help us to be faithful in all of our duties and responsibilities, that we would realize what a privilege it is to be called the sons of God. And we pray again that you would bless all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that you're able to touch and heal and lift up. We've seen your power. And we pray that you would bless again in all of these who are sick. We pray that you would touch their bodies, lift them up, bless those who are facing surgery. Pray that you would bless those with special burdens and problems. Bless every family that's here. Bless each individual that's present. Pray that you would bless all of thy people that stand in great need wherever they are. We know, Lord, there are many of your children in other countries that stand in far greater needs than we have here. So we ask you to bless your children that are being persecuted and being put to death because of their love for Jesus Christ. Again, now bless us now as a nation. Have mercy on us. And bless us this hour as we try to study thy holy word. Again, bless those who will be traveling. Bless Sister Jessica and her family as they fly. We pray that you would watch over and protect and bless them, and bless them to have a good trip. Bless Brother Terry in the surgery tomorrow. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are two words that are on my heart tonight, primarily to begin with. And those two words are, teach me. Teach me. Whenever someone says, teach me, they are acknowledging two things. They're acknowledging, first of all, that they want to learn. The second thing that they are acknowledging is, if they say to someone else, teach me, then they're saying that they have confidence in that other person, that person has the skills and the talents to be able to teach them the things that they want to know. Kylie has just started learning how to crochet, and Sister Debbie Pierce, Sister Kylie asked Sister Debbie if she would teach her how to crochet. There are some of the young ladies in the congregation that are mothers now that Sister Queen Waters taught them a lot about cooking and about a lot of other things. So, people can teach us. And we need to pray that God will help us to realize that other people can teach us a lot of different things. I read in the paper this past week where a grandparent was saying that she had a grandson that wanted to learn, a 10-year-old grandson, wanted to learn how to play the banjo, and if anybody would teach him how to play the banjo, she would appreciate it. Now, in all probability, a 10-year-old boy that wants to learn how to play the banjo may find somebody that wants to teach them, but what do you expect in all probability will happen in about a month? All right, unless he has a passion, then he's going to give up on being taught how to play a banjo. I would like to play a banjo. I'd like to play a guitar. I'd like to play a dulcimer. I'd like to play all kinds of instruments, but I'm not willing to do all that's necessary to learn how to play those instruments. There are a lot of other things that I would like to learn how to do, and if it was easy, if I could just say, teach me, and you could teach me in a few minutes to do it, I'd be willing to do and learn a lot more. But in order to really be taught the things that we need to learn to do, we're going to have to be willing to make the sacrifices that are necessary to learn. Somebody can't just sit you down and teach you something and you make no effort and you really learn something that is of any great value, you have to pay attention to what they're saying and you have to be willing to learn the things that are being taught. You remember on one occasion that the apostles or disciples went to Jesus and they said to Jesus, they said, Lord, you remember what they said? Teach us to what? Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So Jesus was asked by his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, it's significant, I think, that they did not say, Lord, teach us how to pray. They may have meant that. They may have meant, Lord, teach us how to pray. We hear you pray, and they had just heard him pray there in Luke chapter 11. They had just heard him pray, and after they heard Jesus pray, it was then that they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And they probably meant, we thought we could pray, but now that we have heard you pray, we realize we don't really know how to pray. But not only do we need God to teach us how to pray, but we need to pray, God, teach us to pray. Once you know how to pray, you still need for God to teach you to pray. Now, there were many times that Jesus spoke in parables. And after he would teach a parable, sometimes the people would come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us what this parable means. They wanted to learn the meaning of the parables. And I'm thankful that many of you want to learn what the Word of God says. There are many of you that have spent many, many hours studying the Word of God. You want God to teach you, and you want others to teach you what the Word of God means. For example, you remember that when Philip went to the eunuch, Philip asked the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? So we need to pray that God will teach us what His Word means, and sometimes God will use other people to teach us the Word of God. Brother Jerry used to, when he was younger and my dad was alive, he used to come over to our house almost every time that Daddy was in town. He would come over there for Daddy to teach him the Word of God, and he would sit there. He wanted to learn. Brother Jerry was a good student, and Daddy was a good teacher, and he learned a lot from the Word of God as he sat under the teaching of my dad. Now, we need to think about how in the Bible, the one thing that's mentioned, especially in the Old Testament, about teaching, more than anything else, is where the Word of God says the people would say to God, they would say, teach us thy statutes. Teach us thy law. Teach us thy way. Teach us the truth. Those are some of the things that are found in the Word of God. There's a long list of things that as you study the Scriptures that you find people said, Lord, teach us. Teach us your way. Teach us the truth. Teach us what we ought to be doing. Teach us what we ought to be doing. Have you ever prayed that? Lord, teach us your way. Well, you need to do that. You need to pray, God, teach me your word. Teach me the truth. Teach me the right way to walk. Teach me the right way to live. We ought to be praying, God, teach me, because God is the best teacher and God knows everything and He can teach you more than anyone else. But you must be willing to sit at the feet of Jesus for Him to teach you. If you're not willing to make the sacrifices, you will not learn the Word of God and you will not learn the way of God. If you want some easy way to learn the truth, you'll never buy the truth. The Word of God says, buy the truth and sell it not. In order to buy the truth, you have to be willing to give up a lot of things to buy the truth. Now, the subject that's on my heart tonight is not teach me how to pray or teach me to pray or teach me thy statutes, but if you look at Psalm 143 and verse 10, there's another example here of God's people crying out for God to teach them something. In Psalm 143 and verse 10, the Word of God says that the psalmist says here, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good, lead me into the land of uprightness. Now, what was the request here? He's not saying, teach me to pray, or teach me thy statutes, or teach me thy laws, or teach me thy commandments, or teach me thy judgments. But he says, teach me, look at the wording there, teach me to do thy will. Now, most all of those other statements that I mentioned that are in the Word of God, teach me thy law, teach me thy statutes, teach me thy commandments, all of that is the will of God. Is that, here's my law, here's my will, here's the thing you're supposed to do. But that's not the request here. This is beyond, after you know the will of God, and after you know what God would have you to do, the psalmist here is saying, teach me to do thy will. Teach me to do what you've taught me is your will. I've learned many things in the Word of God, but I'm not doing all the things I know I ought to be doing. Are you? Are you doing the things? Are you doing everything? Do you know many more things in the Word of God that you're supposed to be doing than what you're doing? Well, I think that's what the writer here is saying. Lord, I know many things I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm asking you now, teach me to do thy will. Not just teach me what your will is, but teach me to do thy will. I remember one time Daddy was about to whip me, and he said, I'm going to teach you to change your clothes when you come in from school. Now, sometimes when you say, God, teach me, you need to realize that sometimes learning things can be very painful. And you need to pray, God, teach me to do thy will. But you also need to understand that in order for God to teach you to do his will, that sometimes he must discipline you in order for you to learn that you must do his will. Because if you don't do his will, then he's going to chasten you anyway. So you need to go ahead and pray, God, teach me to do thy will. I want to do your will. I know it's serious to not do your will, so I'm saying, God, teach me to do thy will. Do whatever's necessary in my life to teach me to do thy will. Are you willing to pray that kind of a prayer tonight? Are you willing to say, Lord, teach me to do thy will? How many of you are willing to pray, Lord, teach me to do thy will? Are you willing to say, God, do whatever is necessary in my life to teach me to do the will of God? It's a serious thing to ask God to teach you to do his will, isn't it? But it is also serious to not do his will, because you will experience the judgment of God. Sometimes we think, well, I can know what to do and not do it, and it's not going to have any profound effect in my life. Well, not doing the will of God will have a serious consequence. Turn in your Bibles right now to Matthew chapter 7. Jesus teaches us that you might have already prayed, teach me thy will. You might have already prayed, teach me thy statutes, teach me thy commandments. And God may have already taught you his will and taught you his commandments. And you may know all about the judgments of God. You may know that the Word of God says in Ephesians 6, 12 through 18, that we're to put on the whole armor of God. How many of you know how many of you know some of the armor of God? How many of you know some of the armor of God that you're supposed to put on? Okay? My question is, what do you think my next question is? Okay? We know what the armor of God is. The question is, have we done the will of God? See, the Bible says there, put on the whole armor of God. And it tells you all the various parts of the armor of God. And we know the parts of the armor of God. I could probably go through this congregation and 90% of you could name most of the parts of the armor of God. We know what God's will is that we're to put on the armor of God. But we haven't been willing to go one step further and say, Lord, don't just teach me your will, but teach me to do thy will. Teach me the seriousness of knowing to do your will, but not doing it. So I'm praying now to go further in my service to God, not just to know what your will is, but I'm praying one step further, and I'm going to say, God, teach me to do thy will. Now, Jesus explains the seriousness of the matter of knowing his will, but not doing his will. In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24, the Word of God says that Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," and what? Doeth. Now, if anybody is doing the will of God, did you know God has taught them two things? What's the first thing God taught them if they're doing the will of God? What's the first thing He taught them? He taught them His will, and then what else has He taught them? He's taught them to do His will. And so it is that Jesus says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." Now, brethren, what if you don't ever pray, "Teach me to do thy will"? What if you never pray, "Lord, teach me to do thy will"? Is it going to change the consequence that's described here in Matthew 7? No, if you don't ever pray, "Lord, teach me to do thy will," it still is going to happen that if you know the will of God and you don't do the will of God, then you're going to be like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Your house and my house will fall if we know to do His will, but we're not doing His will. So, do you think that we need to pray tonight? Do you think we need to pray, "Teach me to do thy will"? I believe very fervently that we need to pray, "God, teach me. Do whatever's necessary." I remember one time in Columbus, after Michael, my son, had died, and I prayed one morning after that, about a year later, when I was not feeling as close to God. I'd felt so close to God from the time, from 20 minutes after he died, for about that first year, I just felt so close to God and lifted up, and I was walking about Zion, the most spiritual time of my life, and then I began to not feel as close to God. And I remember praying one morning in church, I said, "God, I ask you to do whatever's necessary to bring me back into intimate fellowship with you." And somebody said, "Don't pray that. Do you realize that God could take another one of your children?" Well, I want all of you to know tonight that whether you pray it or not, whether you pray, "Teach me to do thy will," or not, if you don't do the will of God, then your house will fall. You're going to suffer in a horrible way if you don't do the will of God. It's not enough to know God's will. It's not enough to pray, "God, teach me what your word says." It's not enough to study and know what God's word says. It's important that we also go beyond that and say, "Teach me, God, you're able to teach me. Teach me to do thy will." And so it is that Jesus taught us here the importance of not being a hearer, but being a doer of the will of God. James teaches the same truth. Go with me just a moment to James, and then I want us to go look at some of the will of God that we're taught to do. Look at James. James chapter 1. Listen, please, to verses 22 through 25. James, right after the book of Hebrews, you have the book of James, and James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, the Word of God is emphasizing again here the importance of us not just hearing the will of God and not just saying, "Lord, teach me thy way, teach me thy truth." And again, I want to tell you that in my studying on this week, that there are probably 50 to 1 times There are probably 50 times as many instances of people saying, "Teach me thy will, teach me thy statutes, teach me thy judgments." That's taught and that's requested many times more than this one time where this psalmist says, "Teach me to do thy will." And I think it's so important tonight that we pray, "Lord, teach me." I think we know a lot already, and we just need to pray right now, "Lord, teach me to do what I know I ought to be doing. Teach me to do it. Do whatever's necessary so that I will do what you've taught me to do. You've taught me a lot. I know a lot of what to do. You know a lot. Everybody in this congregation, you know a lot of things that God would have you to do. And you need to pray now, "Lord, teach me to do what you've taught me to do." James chapter 1, listen, beginning in verse 22. The Word of God says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only." Can you hear the Word of God and understand the Word of God? Can you learn the will of God, but not do the will of God? So he says, "Be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Are there great blessings for the people of God who say, "Lord, teach me thy will"? Listen carefully now. Are there blessings that come to the people of God who go to God and say, "Teach me thy will"? Are there blessings in learning the will of God? I believe that there are. Are there blessings in saying, "God, teach me thy statutes and teach me thy judgments"? There are great blessings in God teaching you his will and his statutes and his ways and his judgments. But this verse tells us that there are even greater blessings than just knowing his will and have him teach you his will. The greatest blessings come not in knowing his will, but the greatest blessings come in doing his will. This man who does the will of God, he shall be blessed in his deed. Great blessings when we do the will of God. So, can you see the importance of us praying, "Lord, teach me to do thy will"? I can't ever remember asking Daddy to teach me anything that he didn't teach me. I remember one time I was about 11 or 12 years old, and I wanted him to teach me how to cut the grass. He was out there pushing that. That's all you had back then was push lawnmowers, and he was pushing that lawnmower, and we had over an acre of grass to cut with that push lawnmower, and he was out there pushing the lawnmower, and I said, "Daddy, please let me push that lawnmower. Please teach me how to cut the grass." Now that was one of the most foolish things I've ever asked in my life. Why in the world would somebody want to learn to cut grass, to push a mower, to get out in the hot sun and push a mower? But he taught me. He taught me right then. And he taught me to be careful. He taught me the dangers of that lawnmower. He taught me what could happen if I didn't do it just right. He taught me where the different pipes were in the yard. I better not hit the pipe or there would be serious consequences. He taught me a lot of things, and then he put me on that lawn, told me to start pushing, and he told me to make the rows straight, and he taught me how to cut grass. And I did not finish the first day that I didn't wish I had not ever asked that question. But listen, brethren, my point is, if you'll just pray to God, "God, teach me to do thy will," you will never be discouraged in doing the will of God. Because you'll be blessed by doing God's will. Go with me now to 1 Thessalonians. Back up in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. Just back up a few pages to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Do you know the will of God? And are you doing the will of God? And are you willing to pray, "Lord, dear Father, teach me to do thy will"? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Starting in verse 16. Now, I don't know of any place in the Bible where if you want a list of things to do, and I remember sometimes hearing preachers preach and that preach about we need to be obeying God, and I remember going to preachers sometimes and say, "I just don't know what it is I'm supposed to be doing. You keep telling us to do a lot of things, but I don't know what to do." Well, here's a list of things to do. And some people say, "Oh, you don't need a laundry list of things to do. You'll do it if you're born again." Listen, brethren, God's people need lists to remind them and help them to do what God's Word says to do. And so it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. There are two very simple words there. Rejoice evermore. Now, is that the will of God? Is that the will of God for you? Is that you rejoice evermore? Is that God's will for you? That's God's will. Now, is it hard to rejoice sometimes? Yes, it is. Do you need to learn to do the will of God when God says, "Rejoice evermore"? You need to pray, "God, teach me Lord, teach me to do your will. Teach me to rejoice evermore. Teach me how to rejoice. Teach me how to really be full of joy. Now, what's the second thing he says? Pray without ceasing. Do I need to ask God to teach me to pray without ceasing? Did you know God can do that? Did you know God can do that? Did you know God can do something tonight that will cause everybody in this church to pray without ceasing all night long? Did you know that? God can do something tonight that will cause everybody in this building to pray all night long. He can teach you to pray without ceasing. And we need to pray without ceasing. What's the third thing he says? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. What are we talking about? We're talking about teaching us to do your will. Teach me to do thy will. And so he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, that in everything you give thanks. We need to be giving more thanks to God. We need to enter into God's house, enter into His courts with praise, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His holy name. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm ashamed sometimes in the song service to look around and see people giggling and laughing and some people just not paying attention and singing about the blood. The first two songs we sang were about the blood of Jesus. And I looked around, I saw people giggling and laughing. And, oh, brethren, what an abomination it is for us to be singing about the blood of Jesus Christ. And people care so little about the blood of Christ that they won't sing and they don't care about the blood of Jesus. God's judgments are going to come on His people when they're so lackadaisical about worshiping Him. This is a house of God. This is a place to worship God. You think it's funny? You think worshiping God is funny? Now, if you were rejoicing in the Lord, then you come to me and tell me that. Because I don't think the giggling and laughing I saw that was going on, I don't think it was rejoicing in the Lord. I think it was foolishness. It's a serious matter, brethren, to have so little respect for God and His house and the worship of God. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to do thy will. Teach me. Teach me to be serious about being in your house. Teach me the seriousness of remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Teach me the importance of doing your will every day. Teach me, Lord, do whatever is necessary to teach me the importance of not forsaking the assembling of myself in your house. If it takes taking a child, do whatever's necessary, God. Do whatever's necessary. Do whatever's necessary. To me and to you, I pray that God will do whatever's necessary to teach me and teach you to do His will. He's going to teach you. If you're His child, He's going to teach you. Whereas sometimes I ask my daddy to teach me, and he taught me some things. There were a lot of things he taught me that I didn't want him to teach me. But God will teach you to do His will. And the way that you can experience the greatest joy is for you to preclude His chastening hand by saying, Lord, just teach me to do thy will. Teach me to love to do your will. David said on one occasion, I love to do thy will. He had been taught the will of God, and he had said, God, teach me to do thy will. And then God taught him to do His will, and he found there was great joy and great blessings in doing the will of God. As you look at the Scriptures, you'll find numerous places where people, listen carefully, you'll find numerous places in the Word of God where people were praying for other people to learn to do the will of God. Now that's wonderful. If you want a list of those Scriptures, let's turn to one. Back up about five pages to Colossians. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Listen, please, to verse 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. This is one of the examples of people praying for others to know God's will, right? Is that what we're talking about, is to know God's will? No, we're not talking about to know God's will. We're talking about beyond that. We're talking about to do God's will. Teach me to do thy will. In Colossians chapter 4, listen to verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Now, did Epaphras know how to pray? Had Epaphras been taught how to pray? Had Epaphras been taught how to pray? Yes, he had been taught how to pray, and he knew how to pray fervently. Did Epaphras know how to love his brethren so much that he would be praying for them? Yes, he knew that. So he says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Now, is he praying for them to know the will of God and to do the will of God? I believe that he is. Many other examples of people praying for other children of God to be able to know and to do the will of God. Let me just say one thing in closing. Jesus, you remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember Jesus prayed as he was praying there and he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, brethren, all of us need to pray. To know the will of God, we need to pray to do the will of God, and we need to pray that God's will would be done in our lives. May God help us to learn to do more than just ask to know His will, and may God help us to sincerely, fervently pray for ourselves and others that I might say, teach me, God, teach me, Father, teach me, Lord Jesus, teach me to do Thy will is my prayer for Christ's sake.